Pushkin.
You can find inspiring stories almost anywhere. For instance, check out the co-founders of Girls Who Do Interiors. This Miami-based design company was started by three friends when they were still in school. And right from the start, they turned to Chase for Business for everything from banking and payment acceptance to credit cards. And they handle them all in one place with the Chase mobile app. It's so important to have that kind of help when you're just starting out. Learn more at chaseforbusiness.com. Make more of what's yours. Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank, NA member FDIC.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G-connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Hi, I'm Phil Donahue.
And I'm Marlo Thomas. And we're going on a series of double dates to find out
what makes a marriage last. What a crazy afternoon in New York. The day we met Bryan Cranston and Robin Dearden.
Oh, God, I remember. Bryan was starring in the hit Broadway production of Network, and the curtain was going up in just a few hours, so we had a very narrow window of time to visit with them at their apartment.
And then our cab driver took us to the wrong address.
And it was rush hour. We were almost a full hour late. It was just the worst. No time to kind of warm up to each other.
I wonder if I'm plugged into the wrong.
You plugged into that, yes, I noticed
yeah,
that.
I'm an idiot. That's because I'm completely from...
She's discombobulated.
I'm never late, isn't it?
You were rattled, but Bryan was so relaxed.
This is a neat, nifty little thing you got. As
you have a 7 o'clock curtain, isn't that?
7 o'clock.
Yeah. Sorry, so let's talk.
Once we got our act together, we dove in by talking about their parents' marriages.
All 7 of my parents' marriages were wonderful.
I'm not kidding.
My mom was married 4 times. My dad was married 3 times. They had numerous boyfriends and girlfriends. And yeah, so in... many ways, my parents taught me what not to do. This kind of laissez-faire attitude into marriage didn't work.
Where were you from?
I'm from L.A., born and raised out there.
So were you kind of against marriage?
No. I was married once before, when I was 23. And then I got married again when I was 35, I think.
I was 35.
You were 33. I was 33. So 10 years after my trial marriage. Right.
So it didn't scare you off marriage, the fact that there were all those marriages?
Right? No, because the woman that I married wasn't a bad person. She was a lovely person. Mm-hmm. It just was the wrong time, and I wasn't in love with her. And I think I took a very casual look at it. It wasn't fair to her, it wasn't fair to me. Fortunately, we didn't have any children. And she went her separate way and remarried and has a life, and the life she wanted.
What about you, Robin? What about your family?
I came from the complete opposite of his. I had to leave it to Beaver. I was raised in Whittier, little tiny town, Nixon's hometown. Right. But I'm a native Californian, too.
Right.
I never wanted to get married. It wasn't high on my list, and my parents never instilled in me the need to be married.
We grew up in mostly our formative years in the 70s, and the sexual revolution in the 60s busted it open, and the 70s sort of celebrated that kind of looseness. And you got waylaid and off track, I think, a lot by
fun.
Yeah, by fun,
right.
And by freedom, and convincing yourself that you may be in love with someone when you're really not, and you may not have that much in common with them, and now you're in so deep, you're like, oh, how do I extract myself? I got married very young.
Right.
And then afterward, I realized, oh, I've made a mistake. And I realized then, if I do this again, I really have to know what I'm doing and be in love.
So then you met on a set, right?
We met on a really terrible television show called Airwolf, which starred a helicopter. And I was the bad guy of the week on this episode. She was the victim of the week. I kidnapped her and held her for ransom.
Along with a few other women.
Yes.
I was going to say, how sexy.
Yeah, yes.
You had a gun on her?
Yes. I threatened to kill her or date her, whichever she chose.
We met on Airwolf. We didn't start dating then. It was a year later that we ran into each other in an improv comedy class and got to know each other and got to be friends.
But I think we were lucky. We were guided to this. At the time that we met, I had a girlfriend too. She had a boyfriend. So we were able to just not have the tension, oh, I should make a move and ask her out and all this.
And fun flirting.
We were able to just have fun and flirt and it's like, oh, that's nice. And we just kind of slowed into it as opposed to overextending yourself physically, making that commitment, and then having to backtrack to figure out who this person is who you just had relations with. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
So,
and you are.
Yeah, yes. Remind me.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. We fool ourselves, right. And we go, oh my God, I'm doing this again.
And then I went to Oxford for a summer, and he came over, and he stopped at Oxford, and I went, oh, it's you. And I'd never felt that way in my life.
Wow.
But what did "oh, it's you" mean?
I can't explain it except that it was just this reaction to, oh, I do want to get married, and I want to marry you.
Wow.
That's,
so you knew that?
I knew pretty fast, and had never felt that way before.
And you, were you thinking that she could be the one? Or
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was very keen on this. We had the most romantic date at Stratford-upon-Avon. I rented a punt.
Ever.
And we had sandwiches on a beautiful day
like
today.
This,
and a
like
bottle
this.
Of wine.
Oh,
and we were
great.
Punting and we found a little shady place under a tree in the water. And it was like, we kissed like
made
bandits.
Out like bandits.
Yeah. Oh, how lovely. Yeah. Oh, how great.
Yeah.
Your proposal has received a lot of ink.
Yeah.
Was that bathtub in London, or was that
no? No, he owned a cabin with a friend of his, two actors. They bought a cabin up in Big Bear. It was hilarious because the bathtub was a standard size bathtub in a crappy cabin in the mountains. So there wasn't any room for me to face him.
So
I'm facing the spout like this. Yeah.
Your me. Back was against his chest.
Yes.
Yes. So I kept thinking, what?
You
catch me
the whole
off
thing.
Guard.
I designed it this way because I thought that if I was to face her and trying to get these lines out,
You would cry.
I would crack. I did. I really did. So I thought, oh man, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? I had champagne, I had a little music going, and
I'm going, what the hell is this?
And every time I start to talk, and she starts to turn around to look, and I push her face back towards the front so that I could, let me just get this out.
Was that a surprise?
At that moment, it wasn't a surprise, because it was like, oh, I know where this is going, kind of.
Now, the other thing was the ring.
Yeah.
We're nude. As one is in a bathtub.
Right.
Where would I put the ring? So I thinking, oh, no, she'll see it there. So, if I put it, no. That's
it'll not. Go down the drain.
And I said, so I thought, oh, I put it on my baby toe. I put it all the way on my and submerged the foot.
That's so great.
So that
when
she would
see.
Me,
then this foot came up.
My
with
foot
a toe
came up and did this.
With a ring
that's
on
hilarious.
Because I couldn't reach it.
Is this a horror movie?
It sounds like an improv.
It was, yeah.
it was an improv.
All right. It was
all true.
That's very funny.
The way it worked out.
It's a good thing she said yes. How embarrassing.
Yeah, but, how do you get out of that? But,
you know, there's a lot of sincerity in that. You know, yeah. You're not just another girl.
Yeah.
No, that's for sure.
Yeah. And it worked.
So let me put it this way. How do you fight? Everybody has their way that they fight and how they make up from a fight. Because I'm Italian and Lebanese,
right.
And he's Irish.
Right. Yeah.
We have a very different way of fighting.
Yeah.
We've had to learn over years how actually to fight. So without, you know, somebody going out the window. Yeah. I used to say to him, I have a feeling that someday there'd be just nothing left but an eyelash and some white hair on the ground. Like, yeah. And they'll say, they were here.
Shreds of hair. Well, there's Phil. There's Mara.
So how would you say your style is?
I would first say that I'm the moodier of the two of us.
He's crankier than I am.
Yeah.
I am not. She is much steadier in her comportment and personality than I am.
He explodes, I pout.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
As she is learning to not take things too seriously and to let things go, I have learned to identify when the train is going on the wrong track early, mm-hmm. so that it's not so far down the road that you go, ooh, I've made a mistake,
right?
And I am sorry, and now we need to back up a train to go to get on the right track. Now I need to learn to go, oh, that's the switch. Start making adjustments now, as opposed to holding on to that and letting it go too far down the road.
That's a great visual. To think about, there's a switch that you can stop this now.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, Alan Alda said in the middle of a fight, he has to say to himself, but she's the one I love. I have to, like, back off of this. Yeah. You know, I actually love her.
Yes.
I don't need to do this.
I asked Billy Graham once, have you ever considered divorce? Never. Murder? Yes.
Have you guys ever thrown that divorce word around?
Never.
There's no, because then you're
it's
holding
like
a threat
thing.
Over
yeah,
someone.
It's a threat mm-hmm.
And if you're thinking that, then there's a problem.
Right.
But to use it,
go
to
get help it, as a couple.
Yeah.
Right. We firmly believe in getting help as a couple.
Do you?
Therapy. Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
And have you early or what late?
Very both early. Before we
early,
were married.
Middle, late.
Really?
Yeah.
Before you were married, because you thought what?
Because we were both in our 30s, because I recognized that I had gotten myself into situations where I'm in a relationship and I don't want to be again and again and again. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, why is this pattern happening to me? Slow down and pull it back. But if you do find someone who you really know, as I did with Robin, okay, now I don't want to mess this up.
So I'm impressed with your insight that time of your life. Where'd that come from?
When we went into therapy, it was before we were married, because Brian used to say to me, I love you, I know I want to marry you, I just don't know when. Well, I was 34. So there was a part of me that was going, but you're assuming I'll still be here.
Right.
And that made me mad, because it was like,
I took it
that way. He thought
it was, he even thought it was
a big
step. I
wasn't ready.
I got it.
Right.
So
right.
What else should I say?
No.
Right.
You're lucky, like, that she cared enough to listen.
I mean, isn't it amazing that the timing of any couple can work out?
I know. I was on Phil's show promoting something, and he said to me on his show, how does a girl like you not get married? I was like 36 or so at the time. And I said, I'm never getting married. I have no intention of getting married. And he said, really? Yeah, it's all right. So we started dating. And
about but you have no intention
of
dating.
Because he said, great, she has no intention of getting married. Yeah. What?
A perfect woman.
Right? Yeah.
So I don't know, about 7-8 months in, he asked me to marry him. And I said, you're crazy. I'm not ever getting married. So then he never brought it up again. And like 3 years went by, and I said, I'd kind of like to get married. You know, it was like, he was smart enough to like, okay, fine, just want to get married.
Right.
Because you weren't saying, I don't want to have a relationship with you.
No, I was crazy about him. I was what you call, Candy Bergen and I used to say about our boyfriends, I'm crazy about him. But we never said I'm in love with anybody. I didn't admit the love part until we actually broke up for 3 months. because it was so hard. I was in L.A., he was in Chicago with his show, and
right.
it was so much trouble to get together. It was exciting
right.
as hell. I mean,
right.
we would, you know, right. we would make out in the airport, but it was terrible in many ways. So I said, you know what, this is just too much, and so we did. We broke up, and in those 3 months of being apart, I thought, there's nobody.
Yeah.
But him, and he called me in the middle of the night, and he said, I never thought anybody could be this irreplaceable.
Oh.
And then we both cried on the phone, and that oh. was it.
You know, you allowed yourselves to slow down.
Right.
Separate.
Right.
And really experience the loss.
Right.
What you yeah. had to lose if you weren't together.
Right.
Yeah. Early on, because we both wanted it to work, I came up with an idea that would take the decision-making out. And that is, if either one of us said, I want us to go in to see the therapist, there is no discussion to it. And we agreed upon that early on. So whenever anyone says, it's really important to me, okay, you back off. It's like, let's set it up. What are you on? And she is almost always the one to say, I think we need to go in. And it surprises me. And I go, really? Yes, it's important to me. And just the idea of being in that environment and offering up a thought, a notion, a feeling that comes to you and sharing it.
Right.
And having somebody who's impartial, basically, in looking at both sides and how I receive information, how he receives information.
An interpreter.
Yeah. Yes. And they're interpreters.
The thing is, mental health has always been viewed as a weakness.
Yeah.
Sure.
That if you need therapy, your character is in question.
Or if you need therapy, you must be crazy.
I tell people all the time, when they say, really, you go to therapy? And it's like, yeah. I said, let me ask you a question. You drive a car. If the red light on your car said engine trouble,
right.
would you stop, open up the hood, and start dinkering? Of course not. Or it's like, I don't know where to begin. What makes you think that you can fix your marriage if that warning light is on?
Right.
And that's all it is.
Right.
Just the caution light going, hey,
you might
want to
look into this.
And so we actually use the phrase, we need a tune-up.
That's great.
Let's just go get a tune-up.
Most people go through life completely unconscious, and they don't understand why they run into a bus.
Right.
You know, and that's,
right.
And you run into a bus in your marriage, you run into a bus raising children, you have a daughter.
I have a daughter, yeah.
Right.
And were you good co-parenting, or did you argue about that, or did you have to find a pattern for that?
No, we didn't.
No.
We haven't really had...
How do you find that style?
It's making it sound like we haven't had any knockdown, drag out fights. And believe me, we have. You do.
Right.
We've been married 30 years.
Of course.
Brian wanted more children, and I didn't.
We'll have more after a quick break.
Small business owners, this one's for you. Chase for Business and iHeart bring you a new podcast series called The Unshakables. This one-of-a-kind series will shine the spotlight on small business owners like you who faced a do-or-die moment that ultimately made their business what it is today. Join hosts Ben Walter, CEO of Chase for Business, and Tanya Nebo, a lawyer and business consultant, on these storytelling journeys of trials, tribulations, and triumphs that hinged on a single event, a split-second decision, or even a stroke of luck. Whether the story is about a warehouse going up in flames or a former partner stealing a whole roster of clients, each episode will showcase the grit, determination, and resourcefulness a small business owner needed to turn a pivotal situation into a springboard for success. Listen to The Unshakables now and learn more at chase.com/business/podcast. Chase. Make more of what's yours. Chase Mobile App is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. J.P. Morgan Chase Bank, N.A., member FDIC. Copyright 2024, J.P. Morgan Chase & Company.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G-connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is Accelerating Innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
We're back to our interview with actors Bryan Cranston and Robin Dearden. After having one child, Robin and Bryan faced a tough dilemma. He had hopes for more children. Robin was done.
Really?
So that was a big therapy thing for
us. Wow, I'll bet.
Yeah. I think I really would have resented having two kids when he would be gone like 6 months or go off and do a movie.
Right. And how did you get through that?
Well, as a progressive, enlightened male, I said, well, I think it's fair that you should have two votes and I'll have one vote. So because of the biological
issues. We talked it out for a long time.
So I said, well, maybe when Taylor is 1 year old, I'll bring it up. When she's 2 years old, I'll bring it up. And if after that, I won't bring it up.
But
But
we did go to therapy for that.
Yeah.
And I learned something really interesting about you at that. Because I had, yes. We were getting deep into him wanting more children so much and me being fine with not. The therapist asked Bryan, why do you think this is so important? And you had this epiphany of, because I only think of a family as my siblings. And because his parents were so fractured, that us only having one was not a family.
Right. I really relied on my brother, who's 2 years older than me, during the fracture of the family. He was running defense and blocking for me and figuring things out together. And we were very, very close for a long, long time. I thought, boy, I really needed my brother. Our little sister needed us, too, at times to take care of her, to babysit when mom was drinking too much or whatever, you know. So that's what I kept thinking. It's not for me, it's for Taylor. I thought it's better for Taylor to have a sibling.
Mm-hmm. I don't disagree with you. I think that that's true.
You want to go into the other room? Let's go. What do you think? Yeah, it's not too late, baby.
Sure now.
Yeah, that should be the same.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, sure now. Big deal.
that's amazing.
Yeah.
Did it change your marriage a lot?
By
having a baby? What?
I mean, well, because I did have her when I was 40, because I did have major complications. It took me a year to even feel quasi-normal again. Uh-huh. It just wrecked me. It just totally wrecked me. Mm-hmm. And that was part of it, too. I just don't want to go through that again. It was just...
So it deprived you of the joy of motherhood then, didn't it?
For a while, yeah. I mean, from 2 years old on. But that first year was really, really hard. It was really hard. But Bryan was home then. He wasn't gone. I wasn't, going through it by myself.
Helpful, huh?
Oh, yeah. And it's like, we'll just do this. We'll just get through this. That's who he is. That in everything, he's like that. There was another point. His grandmother was in dementia in a home. And she had to go to the bathroom. And he said, I'll help you, Grandma. And she said, oh, no. Because she wasn't really sure who he was. And she said, oh, no, I'd be too embarrassed. He goes, oh, Grandma, don't you know I'm a doctor now? And she went, oh, okay.
That's good. And what was it about Robin that made you?
I think part of it was just the person that she is, that she still has a joyous appreciation for simple things, for just life, a good positive outlook. She wasn't cynical or sarcastic, yet she was funny. She was beautiful, still is. And the character of a person is what you should hitch your wagons to. What are the choices you make when times are tough?
Is there an example?
Well, it's interesting because one of our first fights was when she had this boyfriend. And we were now getting together, and she hadn't officially told the boyfriend that...
He didn't live in Los Angeles.
...that this was not going to go any further. And I thought, you know, this is... I'm sensing something here. I'm sensing something here.
You better tell him. I lost my voice. I physically lost my voice.
She was so afraid to tell him.
It was such a psychological...
Wow.
It was like I got laryngitis.
Oh, that's wild.
Couldn't speak.
So. Did you believe it?
Well, I was having a difficult time with
rightfully so.
Rightfully so, yes. Yes. Thank you for saying
You're
that.
You're welcome.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I was in the right on here completely.
But they were asking, what is it about me that you love so much? Not the mistake that
I'm
I made.
I'm thinking.
The one big mistake I made.
I just don't think I'm going to do any better than you.
You're probably right. No.
What would you pass on to a young couple who's about to be married that you've learned?
Being able to laugh. Mm-hmm. It's really important to me. And then the other thing is just, I'll say sometimes, I'm your best friend. I've got your back. Don't forget that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you can both remember that.
What about you, mister?
You have to know that you've fallen in love before you attempt this. Now, it sounds overly simplistic because, well, of course, well, but really be in love and take the time to really desire that person, to miss that person sometimes. Separation is not necessarily a bad thing. And to find out how you truly feel at your core, if this is a relationship that can endure.
And with that nugget, it was time for Brian to get going for his stage performance that night.
It was incredible. With the performance to give and the clock ticking, they didn't rush us. They gave it their all. I love them for that.
And they were fun to be with.
I'd match you guys up anytime.
I'd say, is that what this is about? You're going to do a matchmaking?
I said, Robin, you've got to meet this guy.
Yeah, that's right.
This guy. Until next time, I'm Phil Donahue.
And I'm Marlo Thomas.
Oh, this is wonderful.
You guys are fabulous.
You guys are great.
Double Date is a production of Pushkin Industries.
The show was created by us and produced by Sarah Lilly. Michael Bahari is associate producer. Musical adaptations of It Had to Be You by Stellwagen Symphonette.
Marlo and I are executive producers, along with Mia Lobel and Lital Molad from Pushkin.
Special thanks to Jacob Weisberg, Malcolm Gladwell, Heather Fain, John Schnars, Carly Migliori, Eric Sandler, Emily Rostek, Jason Gambrell, Paul Williams, and Bruce Kluger.
If you like our show, please remember to share, rate, and review. Thanks for listening.